Korban Pesach, week two. Last time we talked about the issue of Bikur, of examining the Korban in advance. This time we talk about Ketanim, the roles of the minor Pesach as a member of the Chabura, as well as the question of how children are allowed to eat from the Korban Pesach at all. And then the question of what happens for a kid who becomes an adult in between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. Right? Every year, you know, approximately 8% of Jewish kids are going to become adults between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. So what are we going to... 8% of kids who are becoming adults in a given year will become adults in that period of time. So the question is, what do we do with them? Do we have to bring Pesach Sheni? So all of this begins with Medrash Mechilta of Rav Shmuel Bar Yochai, there in source number 1. Which talks about eligibility for the Korban Pesach in general. Building on the Psukim, it says, "Ein li ela ish." I would only know that men are supposed to be involved because the Torah uses the term ish, ish selaves avos, selavayis, right? Minayin l'rabas is a isha ves hakatan. How do I know that an isha also is involved in the Korban Pesach? How do I know a katan is involved in the Korban Pesach? So he says, the answer is that the Torah says nifashos. Nifashos expands to include all nifashos, all people. Imkein lama nemar ish. Well, then why did the Torah say ish selaves avos selabayis? Right? What do I need ish for in the first place? The ma ish sheyachol leachol kizayis. Avkaton sheyachol leachol kizayis. Ish is there not to teach me that only males eat the Korban Pesach, but rather to teach me that you have to be an adult, you have to be able to eat an olive-sized amount. Knowing what we today gauge to be an olive-sized amount, this is no small trick. The Rabbi Yehuda gives me a different explanation. Ma ish sheyodeya hefresh achila. Avkaton hayodeya hefresh achila. He has to be somebody who understands the difference between food and other items. What does that mean? Ezo he hafrashas achila. What are we talking about? Kol shenosim lo evan vizorko ego is vinolo. You have to be of age that someone gives you a rock, you'll recognize it's worthless. Someone gives you food, and you say, "Oh, I want that." Much similar to discussions we have in Dine Mamanos regarding maturity. Right? You have to be of age where you understand the value of something. That's the rule. So the Mechilta tells me that the word ish is not there to exclude minors. The word ish is there to exclude either people who aren't going to eat enough or people who don't have the intellectual sophistication sufficient to know the difference between food and rocks. Got it? So far so good. Minors are included as long as they either can eat the right amount or are somewhat sophisticated in the recognition of food. That's the Mechilta. Take a look at the Gemara in Sukkah, source number 2, regarding Chinuch in Mitzvos, and Ketanim are again going to be included in the Korban Pesach. Tanur Rabbanan Brisa says, Kodan hayodeya lana'anea chayuv belulav. If a kid knows how to shake a lulav, he has to do lulav, yachol leachol kizayis tzli, when he's old enough that he can eat a kizayis of roasted meat, so shochten olav as haPesach. We include him in the Korban Pesach. Shnemar, as the pasuk says, ish lafi ochlo. Taking the word ish to mean he has to be able to eat that amount. Rabbi Yehuda omer ad sheyachol levar rachila. Rabbi Yehuda says he has to be able to distinguish between food and other things. Ketzad, how so? Nosen lo tzor v'zorko egos v'notlo. You give him the rock, you give him the nut, right? That's the Gemara. So the Gemara brings both deos from the Mechilta, right? The Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda. But do you notice the difference between the focus of the Mechilta and the focus of the Gemara in Sukkah? There's a glaring difference in terms of the role of the katan. In source number one, right? In source number one, in the Mechilta, why is the katan eating from the Korban Pesach?
He's mechuyev.
He's mechuyev. Right? There's a mitzvah. We have not excluded the katan from the mitzvah. Right? He's part of this mitzvah.
Ask him, are you guys on this type of thing? Or is it a different gather?
We don't know. We don't know anything.
What do you mean we don't know?
The Mechilta doesn't say.
What does the, as far as an adult, why do they eat Korban Pesach?
God said to.
It's usually a zecher for something.
Lav davka.
Yeah, but the Gemara starts off, it says, l'neach chayav b'lulav. So I'm assuming it's just a continuation.
Don't go to the Gemara yet. Go in the Mechilta. The Gemara is different.
Okay. But you're saying,
the Gemara's, the Mechilta's default is that everyone is obligated in the Karban Pesach. And that I would have thought Ish excluded women and minors, and now I'm finding out it's not true. Women and minors are included, apparently, in the mitzvah. It's a very hard thing to say. We don't have mitzvahs like Ketanim or Chayavin. Even Bris Milah, right, is a chiv on the father until the kid becomes an adult.
That's why I ask you, is the pshat af hein hayu ba'osan es? Because...
And the answer is it can't be. Af hein hayu ba'osan es is a logical explanation for an existing chiv.
Right.
Right? Why is it that we don't follow the rules of normal exemptions when it comes to certain mitzvahs? Because af hein hayu ba'osan es. But it's an after-the-fact rationalization. The fact is, women are chayav in certain mitzvahs, and then we ask, well, why are they chayav? And then we explain because of this nice thing. But there's an inherent chiyuv. They're mitzvah. What we're saying here is, ketanim are mitzvah. Ketanim are obligated somehow in Karban Pesach. That's a really interesting concept. Does that mean then that a kid who misses Karban Pesach gets kares? Wow, that's novel. That's not a simple thing to say. That's one. Take a look now at that Gemara in Sukkah and tell me what the Katan's role there is. If you want, you could cheat and look at source number 3, Rashi. Right. Chayav Alulav, Rashi Zak, Lechancho Midivrayim. To train him, Midirabanan. The Gemara here in source number 2 is not talking about the mitzvah of Karban Pesach at all. It's about the mitzvah of chinuch. Now, I'm cheating a little bit in the sense that there's a machlokas as to whether chinuch is a subset of each mitzvah or whether chinuch is a standalone mitzvah. Right? When I'm fulfilling, when my kid picks up a lulav because he's training for lulav, is he fulfilling lulav or are we fulfilling chinuch? But leaving that aside, it's not germane for the issue at the moment. The point is that his reason for being involved in the Karban Pesach is a chinuch thing. He's not really eating Karban Pesach. He's really engaging in a training exercise so that when he becomes an adult, he'll eat the Karban Pesach. So these are actually, these two sources, the Mechilta and the Gemara, are going in two different directions. That's going to matter. We're not ready yet for why it matters, but that is going to matter.
Are you including Karban Pesach in the form of Chinuch as well? Because Rashi seems to single out Lulav.
No, that's only because it's the first example in the Brisa. I brought you Rashi on the beginning of the Brisa. He's not going to go through every example in the Brisa. There are several. And say, this one also is L'chancho Midivrayim. This one also is L'chancho Midivrayim. He's just starting out at the beginning of the Brisa. And Rashi says that's Chinuch. And the same thing is true for the rest of the Brisa.
Is Rashi seeing a cue from this, from the Lashon of the Gemara? Because it sounds like, if I take the Gemara standalone, it sounds like the Gemara sounds like it's talking about a Chiyuv in Mitzvot. And would Rashi make a similar comment on the Mechilta
if we had
there
a Rashi on that
thing.
Mechilta.
Yeah.
It's an interesting question. I don't know. This Brisa is indeed taken as a given, always as a being about Chinuch. Yeah. We talk about his Sukkah requirement and he's separate from the mother, not separate from the mother. So we'll go a little further, but keep this question in mind. We need to see the Rambam, because the Rambam is going to change the whole game. Source number 4. Hilchas Karban Pesach, Perek Beis Halacha Dalet, the Rambam says, V'sholten al haketanim, sheyiyu michlal b'nei hachabura. You shecht for minors, such that they could be part of the group. Remember that the group has to identify itself, right? So the kids count. Lo shetia chabura kula ketanim. However, you could not have a children's Karban Pesach. That doesn't work. You must have an adult involved. Why? She'enon b'nei da'as. Because they are not b'nei da'as. Well, where did that come from? That's a left field introduction. We thought the reason why kids wouldn't count is from the word ish. Right? And then we dumped that. So what is the Rambam talking about? Where does he get this whole b'nei da'as idea? What is this, what is this about? There must be something here. In fact, ish is used in the Gemara to exclude women, theoretically, in source number 5, in addition to what we already saw in source number 1. Right? Take a look at source number 5. The Gemara Pesach and Tzadi Aleph on the base. Gufa. Isha barishon shochten alea bifnei atzma. For the first Karban Pesach, for Pesach Rishon, you can shaft the Karban just for a woman. Ubesheni osen osa tfeila lachayim div Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says not for Pesach Sheni. Pesach Sheni, she can be part of another group. We'll see why in a moment. Rabbi Yossi Omer Isha B'sheni Shochten Alav B'fnei Atzma. Vein Tzach Lomer B'rishon. When it comes, Rabbi Yossi says just the opposite. Pesach Sheni she can do alone, and not just the opposite. It's not the opposite. He says she can do either one alone. Rabbi Shimon Omer Isha B'rishon Osin Osat Tefila Acherim. Rabbi Shimon says for Pesach Rishon we combine her with others. Okay, he's the opposite of Rabbi Yehuda. B'sheni ein shochtan la koliger, but when it comes to Pesach Sheni, not at all. So we have Rabbi Yehuda saying alone for Pesach Rishon, combined for Pesach Sheni. Rabbi Yossi saying that that it's alone for either one, and Rabbi Shimon saying that for the first one we do it with somebody else, and for the second one not at all. I should have done a table just to make this more clear. I didn't, because this is a side note. It's not so germane. I'm only bringing it because of what the Gemara is going to say here to explain the different views. But Maika Miflagi, what exactly is the debate between Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Yehuda, who said Pesach Sheni she has to join in with others, Sabar b'michsas nefashos v'afilu nashim, he says regarding Pesach Rishon, the pasuk uses the term nefashos, which we said in the Mechilta means women as well. And if you'll say we should extend that inclusion to Pesach Sheni, Ksiv, no, because if you look in Baloscha, you find it says, Chet o yisaha ish hahu, the one who misses it will bear his sin, but it says ish. Ish in, ishalo. Only a man is relegated to Pesach Sheni. Which the Gemara says, well, then what's she doing with Pesach Sheni at all, right? If you're going to tell me then that she shouldn't be involved at all in Pesach Sheni, not even as a junior member of a karban, ahani kechol chukas haPesach letfela bi'alma, the pasuk that says kechol chukas haPesach, right, that Pesach Sheni will follow the rules of Pesach Rishon, is sufficient to say that whatever we did by Pesach Rishon we'll do by Pesach Sheni, to the extent that she can be subsidiary to a Karban Pesach, even though she can't have a Pesach Sheni herself. That's the first view. That's the view of Rabbi Yehuda. So Pesach Rishon, she's in Nefashos. Pesach Sheni, she's out because of Ish, but we'll include her because of Kechol Chukas HaPesach. That's Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi, my time, or what's Rabbi Yossi's reasoning for saying she's independent on both? Well, the first one, it says nefashos. Va'afilu isha, that includes women. He says, I have the word nefesh used regarding Pesach Sheni as well. So that's good enough for me. The nefesh va'afilu nashim. Then why does the pasuk say chet o yisa? Right? Why does it say ha'ish? Lamute mai? Lamute katan mi kares. It's teach that a kid who misses Pesach Rishon doesn't get kares. Because of the word ish. So we find ish being used there to exclude minors. Rabbi Shimon, what will Rabbi Shimon do? Rabbi Shimon, who says that she is subsidiary on Pesach Rishon and nothing on Pesach Sheni, ksib Rishon ish, because by Pesach Rishon it also says ish. Ish lefi achot ha'zwal ha'ses, however you want to read it. The ish in ishalo, only males. The point in bringing this is only to show that, like the Mechilta, we have a passage in the Gemara that uses ish. So why is it that when the Rambam discusses Ketanim, his exclusion is based on Bar Das? What is this about? There's a very important difference between using ish and using Bnei Das. Right? What's going to be the difference? Wait, meaning?
Who is a Bar Das but is not an ish?
Well, but why a katan at all? A shota, right? Mm-hmm. If you're talking about an exclusion based on ish, the shota is an ish. Okay. You are. You know, unless you're going to try to employ Rabbi Yehuda's standard of knowing the difference between one thing and another, but the truth is that we didn't apply shota to that anyway, right? Shota was never an issue in that regard. So that's not a problem. The Zev, can you share your paper?
Oh, it's okay. It's the one there.
No, it's not from this. That one up. So I don't understand the Rambam's approach. This is hard for me to grasp. So there are two approaches. One approach is in the Kesef Mishnah on that Rambam. The Kesef Mishnah asks the question in source number 6. He wants to know, why did the Rambam exclude minors from the Korban Pesach to the extent that he said you can't have an all-kids Korban Pesach on the basis of them not being intellectually mature? He should have used the pasuk that said ish if he wanted to exclude them. Source number 6. Umasha kasav rabbeinu she'enan b'nei das. When the Rambam wrote that it's because they are not people of das, kasha lahavin. This is hard to understand. D'tfei hava adif lema'ute midichsiv v'pesach ish. It would have been more likely to exclude based on the fact that the Torah said ish. Ulatam shenasan rabbeinu, and as far as the reason that the Rambam mentioned of, well, the kid is not a bardas, he's not intelligent enough, not mature enough, kasha, that's also difficult. Since when is that a requirement? Who says that we require that the Karban Pesach be shechted only for intelligent people, for sophisticated people? Did the Torah ever say that? Do we have any indication of that? The answer is no. So V'yesh Lomar, the Kesef Mishnah, offers us a suggestion. He says, you could say, D'me'ish Lomash Malel Me'utei Katan, that he didn't want to say that ish is to exclude the minor. D'imkein Havam Ma'id Af Milihimanos Im B'nei Achabura, because that would have to be a blanket exclusion. Remember that the Rambam adopted an in-between approach. The Rambam said you can have a kid as part of your group for the Korban Pesach. You just can't have a group for the Korban Pesach as all children. If the Rambam were to adopt the argument of the Torah says ish and ish is to exclude children, then kids couldn't participate even as part of a group. They couldn't have anything, right? Umidisanya, and from the fact that the Gemara has a brisa that says shochten olav es ha-pesach, mashma desvira lele gemara dahai ish lav lemute katan asa. That means that this ish is not to exclude a katan. Got it? So he says, that's why the Rambam can't use ish. Okay, well, what about the Rambam's explanation he did bring, that the kid is not intellectually mature? Umashakasav she'inam b'nei das, as far as the point of them not being intellectually mature, Evsher the time of Mishum Demisha Ain Bo Das Ain Hekdesho Hekdesh. He gives you a logical argument. He says, look, if this is going to be a Korban Pesach brought by a group of children, who actually dedicates the Korban? If they're all kids, who sanctifies the animal? They're not able to. They're all underage in terms of the intellectual sophistication to dedicate a Korban. So that's what the Rambam means. The Avshalomar Dachika Omar. And it could be then that this is what the Rambam is saying on the fourth line in source number 6. Davka Bishainam B'nei Das, specifically when they are not B'nei Das, when they don't have that intellectual sophistication. Kalomar, Davka Bishalohi Giu La'onas Hanidarim. Specifically, if they have not yet reached the age where their vows are taken seriously in the eyes of the law. Remember that children age early for Nidarim. If a child reaches the age of, I think it's 11, we say, and takes a vow, the Beis Din evaluates, did he know what he was saying or not? And if he knows what he's saying, then the vow is binding, even though he is immature by Bar Mitzvah standards. Right? So the Kesef Mishnah says, you know, we use the same standard for taking vows as we do for dedicating a Korban. The same principle is going to apply. So maybe the Rambam, when he's saying the kid's not intellectually mature, what he really means is the kid is not old enough to dedicate a Korban. And therefore you can't have a group of children with a Korban Pesach to themselves. But if the child in fact is old enough to dedicate the Korban, even if he's not an adult yet, he's not ish yet, then the Korban's going to be valid. That's what he's suggesting. But if they are b'nei das, meaning that they reach the age of taking vows and having those vows taken seriously, then shekdesh and hekdesh, then their hekdesh is also binding. Shapir dami. That would be good. That would indeed work. That's his suggestion. His latter point that I brought here is not relevant for us.
It would work for Korban Pesach, he's saying.
Yes. Correct. That's the suggestion that the Kesef Mishnah offers.
To me, it sounds like he's really reaching, trying to fill into the Rambam.
Yeah, I mean, he is. I mean, it's an after-the-fact suggestion. It doesn't. It's not based on the Gemara. It's not based on the Mechilta. Right. He doesn't have a source.
Right.
That's true.
Right.
That I agree with your read. Yes. The Minchas Chinuch takes a different approach. If you take a look in your Minchas Chinuch,
is there a concept to consider about here mitzvah trichas kavana, and since a cotton doesn't have das, mitzvah trichas kavana?
Right, so we're not, because eating generally supersedes the need for kavana. Unless you have negative kavana, having blank kavana. If you have someone who they discussed kfal v'achol matzah, he was tied up and they made him eat matzah in cases like that. It is a general rule when it comes to eating, leave the matzah case aside actually, because that has its own quirks, but in general, for mitzvahs that involve eating, kavana doesn't matter. That's a general rule. If you take a look in the Minchas Chinuch in Oz Dalet, okay, he says, he's going to offer us a slightly different approach to answering this problem. He says, where did I have it? Hang on. Yeah, back on the first side of this mitzvah. The part that I want is, yeah, if you see about midway down the page, okay, the Eini Maven, okay, it's in the middle of the paragraph that starts Ach. You see it? I'm trying to think if that's exactly what I had wanted here, but let's go with it. Let's go with it for now. He says, the Eini Maven, I don't understand. After he's brought the Rambam, and he brought the Kesef Mishnah, in explaining why it wouldn't work for them, that they're not able to be Makdish. He says, I don't understand. The Milashona Rambam Shekasa V'Shochtin Alakatanim, from the Rambam's language where he said, you shecht for minors, Aval Ein Osin Osam Chabura Bifnei Atzma, but you don't make them their own group, Mashma da'afilu im acher shochet aleihem. It sounds like even if somebody else would shecht for them, kigon ha'av, let's say the father, mikomakom lo yishchad aleihem bifnei atzmam, he couldn't shecht for them as a group. Ayin la'olam pirkin halachachas shochet adam ayideh b'no bita aktanim. In fact, we're going to see in the Rambam that you can shecht for your kids who are minors, who umuvor b'psachim and all that. U bifnei atzmam. Avim av shochet aleihem eno yochol lishchot aktanim bifnei atzmam af agav de'ekdesho hekdesh. He says, I don't accept what the Kesef Mishnah says, that it's about their ability to be Makdish. Because if it's about their ability to be Makdish, their ability to dedicate to the Karban, then I don't understand how he would apply it in a case where the father, who is an adult, who is intellectually mature and sophisticated, wants to shecht for them. Where the Rambam seems to say that would
still not work.
That would still not be effective. But the Kesef Mishnah standard should be satisfied. So the Minchas Chinuch offers me another suggestion. He suggests that the Rambam follows the view of Rabbi Yossi. Okay, remember we saw Rabbi Yossi we saw the view of Rabbi Yossi in source number 5 in that Gemara in Pesach Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, in which Rabbi Yossi said that women are acceptable, right, because of Nefashos, women are accepted. So the Rambam doesn't accept the idea that the Ish exclusion overrides the Nefesh inclusion, and therefore regarding minors, he can't accept that Ish would exclude the minor. The Rambam follows the view of Rabbi Yossi again. The Rambam follows the view of Rabbi Yossi that women are in, okay, because of Nifashos, despite the word Ish. So once the Rambam accepts Nifashos as an inclusion over the Ish exclusion, he can't now go back regarding minors and say, well, here I accept the Ish exclusion. Once you've dumped Ish, you can't be selective. So all the Rambam has left is B'nai Das. That they're not of age in terms of sophistication. That's the Menchas Chinuch's approach. So again, we ask the question for why the Rambam excludes them in terms of intellectual sophistication rather than just use the pasuk. And the approach of the Kesef Mishnah is because the Ish would have meant he can't be included at all, right? Ish would have meant he can't be included at all. not even in terms of being part of the Chabura, like one member of the Chabura, which we know isn't true. Right? We already said that. The Ish can be a part, the kid can be a part of the group. So the only reason he's excluded is because you can't have an entire group full of minors because they don't have the power to dedicate it to the Beis HaMikdash. That's our concern. Minors lack the ability to do that dedication. That's the Kesef Mishnah's approach. The Menachas Chinuch rejects that. He says that can't be so. The Kesef Mishnah added then that if you have a kid who's old enough to be able to dedicate it, then he will count. The Menachas Chinuch took issue with that approach of the Kesef Mishnah, because the Rambam says that you can shecht on their behalf, but you can't shecht on their behalf if they're a group. And according to you, your concern is only mind. Well, the adult has the mindset to dedicate the carbon properly. So the Menachas Chinuch offers me a different approach. He just says, we dumped Ish regarding women, and all you're left with is Bnei Das. That's what the Rambam is bringing in. Here's another question, though, within this. I'm just going to go over and close the door because it's a little bit of a distraction. There's another approach the Rambam could have used to exclude kids from the Korban Pesach. He could have simply said, they're exempt from mitzvos. Right? That's what he should have said. Children are exempt from mitzvos, therefore we don't have them running a Korban Pesach. Right? Why didn't he just say that? That would have made a lot of sense.
Would he still be able to say they can be included in the Chabur of them? Would that not be any sort of problem for him?
That's going to come next. Good question. But take a look at source number 7. Tosfos in Chagiga, dealing with the mitzvah of Re'iyah, of showing up in the Beis HaMikdash, right, for Yom Tov. So we said, you bring a kid, we talked about bringing the kids, and at what age you bring the kids, Ezu, Katan, who is considered to be a minor such that they don't come, Koshenu Yachol Lirkov, if he can't ride on his father's shoulders. So Tosfos there writes in source number 7, Misham Bahala, from then on, once the kid is older than that, Havale Higia Lechinuch, at that point he has reached the age of education, Umidurabbanan Hu Demechuyev, and at that point the father has a rabbinic obligation to bring the kid, Vitzarach Lahavi Karbonosav Nidava, and he brings a carbon for the kid, the Olas Re'iyah, but he brings it as a voluntary carbon, not as fulfilling the mitzvah, because the kid's underage. The difference between it being fulfilling the mitzvah and nedava, for example, is that you don't bring it on Yom Tov. You can't bring it on Chol HaMoed if it's just a voluntary karban. As he continues, L'man dama nedava sein kriyav b'Yom Tov, ein kriyav al d'machar b'Chol HaMoed. So we know from source number 7, comment from Tosfos, that you don't bring karbanos for minors. That's a rule. The Meiri writes this as well in the Gemara in Pesachim Tzadi Aleph, that children can't be the entire group because they're not bnei chiyuv, they're not obligated. So the question the Menachas Chinuch asks is, why didn't the Rambam just say they're not obligated to mitzvos? That's why they're not the group. The Meiri said it; it didn't bother him. So why doesn't the Rambam say it? So the Menachas Chinuch's answer is in a Hanami. He says you're right. If you take a look at the bottom of the page, 5 lines up from the bottom, middle of the line, Ve'efshar Lomar, you could say Dezek Kavanas HaRambam, that's what the Rambam meant. De'enon b'nei das, they are not intellectually sophisticated upaturim mikol ha-mitzvos, and therefore they are exempt from all mitzvos. That's the idea. Granted that there are many times when the Rambam actually uses that wording, and he didn't use it here. He gives you examples. See the source in Chagiga. Still, it's really the same statement. He says something which some would find to be heretical, quasi-heretical about the Rambam. He says the Rambam wasn't so careful in the language that he used here. Imagine that. The Rambam sometimes will use the expression of the minor is exempt from mitzvos.
Professor Shapiro.
Yeah. Like Shavuot Rabbi Berzon. Shavuot Rabbi Berzon. The very idea that the Rambam wasn't careful in his language, you know, undermines an entire field of study. But that's what he says. When the Rambam writes that the minor is exempt from mitzvos, when the Rambam writes that the minor is not ben das, he means the same thing. Vakavona mishum dipatur mitzvahs. The intent is, yeah, they're exempt from mitzvahs. If you see footnote Zion, if you have an edition that has the footnotes in it, he notes that Meiri that I mentioned, the Meiri actually says it explicitly, that that's why minors are excluded. Now, this reason matters. To give this argument matters. As he finishes saying, well, lefichach, and therefore, avim higiyu la'onas nedarim, even if they do reach the age when they can take vows, they still can't be a group unto themselves. So it appears in my humble opinion, he says. Because I don't care that you can take vows, you're still not obligated to mitzvos. So it matters which reason I give. If my reason is ish excludes minors, then they can't participate until the age of 13, and I have a question of why can they even be part of the group? What are they doing there at all? If my reason is not b'nei das, and therefore they can't be makdish, they can't dedicate it, like the Kesef Mishnah said, then once they reach the age of 11, they can. And they can also be part of a greater group with an adult doing it. And if my reason is, well, they're exempt from all mitzvos, then being of age for nedarim doesn't help you at all. And I may understand why they could piggyback on an existing group, maybe. But that's what we have to come to now.
So why can't we ask, or why don't we ask it in this vein, that it's a mitzvah to say shalzman grom, and women should be potter as well?
That it was a mitzvah to say shalzman grom, and therefore... Right, so the Gemara talks about that. That's one of the afhein hayus. That women are...
That was the reason that I thought that the ketanim were involved as well, because of the afhein hayus.
Oh, I see. I see. You know, though, the Gemara doesn't actually mention it regarding this mitzvah. The Gemara mentions it regarding Arbakosos.
Right.
The Gemara doesn't mention it. It's on the Derabbanan that the Gemara mentions it. The Gemara here just says we have nefashos to include them. That's the answer.
If we're using the inclusion of nefashos, then we can't exclude. If we're saying nefashos is to include ketanim, you can't exclude them just on the basis of them not having come to Nachmar Das, to having come with Mechiyuv.
Right.
Because we have a Chiyuv on them now. So we are now saying we're not including them from Nefashos. We're not excluding them from Yishlu Fiachlo.
Right.
We're just throwing them the way we normally would.
Right. Regarding Matzah, we say that because women are Chiyuv in not eating Chametz, therefore they're Chayuv in Kumecho Matzah.
Right.
Okay. So so now that we've sort of somewhat determined that kids are exempt, we have to ask how they're allowed to eat from the Korban Pesach at all. Who asked you to bring kids into this? So, two different approaches. One from the Ran, Rabbi Nissim, and the other from Tosfos. If you take a look on your sheet, the Gemara Nedarim Daf Lamed Vav. Elamei Ata, the Gemara asks, source number 8. Yavi Adam Pesach al Chavero, Shekein Adam Mevi al Banav al Banos Sevaktanim. The Gemara is asking a separate question, which is going to lead into our point. One should be able to bring a Korban Pesach on behalf of somebody else, because after all, he can bring it for his minor children. Alama Amar Rabbi Elazar, why did Rabbi Elazar say, Hifresh Pesach al Chavero lo asakum, that if you try to designate a Korban Pesach on behalf of somebody else, it's garnished, it doesn't do any good. Doesn't do him any good anyway. Amar Rabbi Zera, to which Rabbi Zera explains, because selaves avos lav de oraisa. The rule of selaves avos is not a biblical rule, and I added in brackets to explain this. Ube'emes einak tanim mamash menuyin. It's not that the kids need to be included on your karban, and you're actually including them without their knowledge. Right? This is predicated upon the point of kids don't have knowledge, and therefore they didn't choose to be part of the karban, and yet you can do it for them. His answer is, yeah, you know why? Because the kids didn't need to be included. Biblically, you don't need to be counted as a member in advance. That's what the Gemara there is saying. And that's their statement. To which the Gemara says, Umi Mai, how do you know that kids don't have to be appointed on the Karban in advance? How do you know that your kid can eat from the Karban Pesach even though nobody sat down at 8 o'clock that morning and said, okay, listen, you're a part of our Karban. And he never said to anybody, he's a part of the Karban. How do I know that that works? Classic Mishnah, Midas Nan. Here's the Mishnah. Ha'omer Levanav, Hareini Shochet Es HaPesach, Amisha Yalani Kem Rishon Yerushalayim. A father wants to get his family going. He wants to get the kids really excited. So he says, listen, I'm chucking the car in Pesach on behalf of whichever of you gets to Yerushalayim first. Go. Right? Once the first one gets into Yerushalayim, gets the head and the bulk of his body in Yerushalayim, he acquires his share and automatically gives to the rest of his siblings. Right? There's a whole discussion about the propriety of doing this and all that. That's a separate point. The point is, though, that it works for everybody, even though they weren't manui. Right? They weren't included from the get-go. The Iamrit Selabayas del Raisa, if the rule of you need to be part of a household that's been designated in advance was a biblical rule, Abisra Koyu Mizakilo, now he's sitting there with the meat there. The animal's already been shechted. And now he's going to claim a share? It's too late. He wasn't appointed in advance. Ela Lama Lohudo Amar Lahonavuon. Well, in that case, what's the father playing this game for? Why is he doing the whole thing? If the kid's already counted anyway, you know, what's this about? Which he says, Kedela Zarizon B'mitzvos, is to energize the kids a little bit. Give them a contest. Kids like contests. So, that's the statement in the Gemara that kids can eat even if they weren't manui, they weren't named as participants beforehand. So take a look at the Ran in source number 9. He's the key. He says, you can't bring a proof from the carbon Pesach regarding kids having participation there, because the rule of celibate avos that you have to be counted as a member of the household beforehand is not biblical. Biblically, minors do not need to be counted on the seh along with everybody else. They can eat from it even though they were not designated initially. Granted that the Karban Pesach can only be eaten by designees, that's only if they were suitable for being members in the first place. But kids aren't up for being manui in the first place. So the Ran's key point is that kids don't become members at all. Therefore, they can eat from the Karban Pesach. Okay?
Because they don't need manui.
They don't need to be made into members. And therefore, they're allowed to eat. Because it's not that they would have become members and they didn't.
Only bar manui.
Exactly. Only somebody who's up for being a designated member must be a designated member. That's the Ron's explanation. My explanation of the Gemara and Nedarim was a little bit choppy, I'm sorry, but it's not so germane for the discussion here. This business of Selevei Sivas Lavdel Raisa. But that's what we have from the Ron. Now, let's take a look at Tosfos. Tosfos has a different approach.
In the Mechilta before.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say that it seems that it's more than they were mechuyav, and not just maybe not even the rabbanim, maybe also the raisa, no?
Yeah, so we need to understand this mechilta, and I'm not sure we're going to even understand it, but we're going to try. Let's go a little further first. The second approach, Tosfos. Tosfos in the Gemara in Pesachim says, what are you doing feeding your kids from the Karban Pesach? Vim Tomar, you might ask, v'heyach ma'achil Pesach shalo l'minuyav. How are you giving the Pesach to somebody who's not a designee? Neither katan ochel nevelo zayin based in mitzvah l'afrisho. Granted that if you see a kid eating treif, there's no mitzvah for the community to keep him from doing so. Still, l'sabos lo biyadayim aser. You're not allowed to actively hand him tarfus. I can't give the kid a cheeseburger and say go eat. Kedar v'hercheresh, like the Gemara discusses in Yevamos. So how is it that I'm giving him from the Karban Pesach? Granted, if the kid took a piece of the Karban Pesach, you wouldn't have a mitzvah to stop him. Although you're, as a father you might, but that's a separate discussion. Va'omer Ri, so the Ri explains, Dehasam Yalfinan Miloso Chlum, Velo Asur, Ela Dumi Dishratzim Unevelos. Avokia Gavna Dikachinuch Mitzvah Shari. He says, you know why? This isn't like that discussion about giving a kid a prohibited thing or whatever. Here, Tosfos says, there's a mitzvah of chinuch, of education for the kid. Tosfos takes the view that we saw back in source number 2 in that Gemara in Sukkah, that the reason the kid is eating is because of chinuch. That's the idea. It's the mitzvah of chinuch. the view of the Ran was that the kid is not even eligible. He's not up for the Karban Pesach, and his eating is not called eating the Karban anyway. So, you know, it doesn't add anything, it doesn't subtract anything, and he can eat. He doesn't need to be a designee. He's not up for designation. Maybe that's the way I should phrase it. Not that it's not called eating the Karban Pesach at all. He's not up for designation. Designation is irrelevant. Whereas, Tosfos' explanation is, this is a mitzvah of chinuch. You're right. He shouldn't be able to eat from the Karban. That's what Tosfos is saying. He shouldn't be able to eat from the Karban. He's not designated. Avapichein, there's a mitzvah of chinuch. You're supposed to educate him, and so let him in for that reason. As a matter of fact, the Minchas Chinuch asks, well, then what are you going to do with the discussion the Magen Avraham weighs in on in source number 11? He says, you know, there is a view that one is not obligated to teach his daughters, to train his daughters in mitzvahs. Granted, it's a machlokas, right? That's not the point. And granted, we say you better believe you should train your daughters in mitzvahs. But he points to the Magen Avraham discussion in Shin Mem Gimel there. The Aviv Mitzuvah, Aval Imo Eina Mitzuvah. One's father is obligated to train him in mitzvahs, keep him from doing things that are wrong and all that, but his mother is not. Kachi ben Nazir, he gives you the Gemara in Nazir, he gives you the story of Hilni Hamalka, who puts her kids in the sukkah, right, in the Gemara in the beginning of sukkah, and they say there that she was stricter than she needed to be, she may not have been obligated. Umashma ben Nazir, the middle of the source, middle of line number 2 in source 11, Umashma ben Nazir de'in mechuyiv l'chanech bito. The Gemara in Nazir sounds like one is not obligated to teach his daughter. Ubatosis ben Nazir hikshu, and in Tosis and Nazir they ask, Maishna, why should this be any different? Mimasha Kasav, the base hill of Machir, I'm not going to go there, I'm not going to get sidetracked into that. The point is, he's asking, it's not base hill, it's Yom HaKippurim. Maishna to be Yom HaKippurim, Machir v'chanech bito. And then the question of do I extrapolate from Yom Kippur to other mitzvahs? The point that I was trying to bring into the Magen Avraham is simply to show that this is actually a classic debate. And so the Minchas Chinuch says, if you're going to tell me, Tosfos, that the reason why your kid can participate is because it's Chinuch, does that mean only sons, not daughters? That's a loaded statement. And it's not one we've seen anywhere. So, do I care whether I follow Tosfos or do I follow the Ran? Well, yeah. Because what about the case of a Shota? Right? What about the case of an adult who's not mentally competent? And that's what the Minchas Chinuch points out. According to the Ran, a Shota eats from the Karban. Because a Shota is also not B'nai Minui. He's not somebody who would have been appointed on the Karban. He's not obligated. Right? A Shota is exempt from mitzvahs. So he wouldn't have been appointed on the Karban. So the Ran will say, therefore he can eat. Just like the kid.
But maybe there's another element of chinuch that Ran would, although he doesn't spell it out, that he would take that in consideration. Otherwise, why would the cotton have to eat at all? If he's allowed to eat it because he's not a bar minui, but why should he eat it unless
exactly.
It's a chiyuv al chinuch?
You went half a sentence too far. Hold the thought. Let me just walk through Tosfos versus the Ran, and then
which
come back to it.
Which would answer the Shaita as well.
The Ran says that the Shota can eat. There's nothing wrong with the Shota eating, according to the Ran, because he didn't have an obligation to be designated. Therefore, he can eat, and the Ran is going to be very happy. Of course he can eat. Tosfos is the problem, because there is no mitzvah chinuch for an adult Shota. I have no mitzvah of training
right,
an adult
exactly.
Shota in mitzvahs, so therefore Tosfos will say you shouldn't allow the Shota to eat from your Karban Pesach. Now, that's flat. I want to go back to your first question, though.
Yeah.
Right? According to the Tosfos, this is a chinuch mitzvah, right? According to the Ran, still, why is he eating? I think, and they underline the words I think, then it goes back to that mechilta. The mechilta didn't say in source number 1 that this is a matter of chinuch at all. The mechilta seemed to say there's a mitzvah. You should have your kid eat from the Karban Pesach as soon as he's old enough to eat outside the mount, as soon as he's old enough to know what food is, right? I don't think the mechilta is talking about chinuch. It doesn't sound like he's talking about chinuch. It sounds like he's talking about the mitzvah of Karban Pesach.
Then he's a bar minu.
No. I don't think he's a bar minui. I think he's simply a member of. I think he simply has a mitzvah of Korban Pesach, and I think that's what the Ran is talking about. I think the Ran is in line with the Mechilta. I can't prove it at all.
Isn't the Ran's whole question predicated on the fact that he's not a bar chiyuv? If he doesn't have a chiyuv, then how am I allowed to let him eat?
No, you can't be mamana him. You can't appoint him on the Korban because he's not an adult. He doesn't have the das to become a member of the Korban. Even he shouts, my six-year-old shouts and says, I am a member of your Korban. I say, that's nice, now go run along. Doesn't count. Doesn't have any legal standing.
But the Mechilta's wording is kind of really classical kind of chinuch, kind of establishment stuff. When does chinuch start? Well, you know, it's like when he can make some, have some elbili to discern, or when he can... No, eat enough. I mean, that's kind of...
If that were true, then it wouldn't have been in terms of the ish thing. Right?
No, you're right. I know the comparison in some... But
not just the comparison. If I follow you, okay, right, that the only reason he's eating is chinuch, then the brisa, the mechilta, is on its head. The mechilta is the opposite. The mechilta's default assumption is kid eats from karban, and the only reason for me to exclude certain kids is because ish came along.
Right.
We don't say that regarding other mitzvah. We don't say that regarding sukkah or lulav or anything else. It's that kids are automatically excluded until you have a reason to include them because of chinuch. The language of the Mechilta, I don't think, is a chinuch language. I think he's talking about an actual chiyuv. I don't understand it, mind you. I don't understand it because we never say kids are obligated in mitzvos. We just invented something. And I don't know what that means. But it doesn't sound like the language of chinuch to me. No, not to me. So, again, recap what we've said. We still have one little bit to do, but recap what we've said here. We started out with the Mechilta saying that kids are in the Korban Pesach too, unless they are so young that they don't know what food is, or so young that they won't eat a kezayis amount. Versus source number two, the Gemara in Sukkah, that says that you shecht a Korban Pesach for a child who can eat a kezayis because that's chinuch for him. That one was clear. Rashi said that's a chinuch issue. The Rambam said that you can't have a group that is entirely minors on a Korban Pesach because they're not b'nei das. Why didn't he use ish? Either because if he used ish, then you couldn't have a kid as part of a group either, or because he doesn't adopt the whole idea of using ish for exclusion. Because after all, he included women. Fine. We then asked, well, why doesn't he just say they're exempt from mitzvos in general? Well, that would be interesting. We asked, why doesn't he say they're exempt from mitzvos in general? And the answer was, that's what he meant when he said they're not b'nei das. I wonder, though, if you take the Mechilta, that's why he doesn't use they're exempt from mitzvos. Maybe it's because the Mechilta didn't say they're exempt from mitzvos. The Rambam is known for his association with the Mechilta. I'm making a note of that for myself. I have to look into that. But to bring us to where we are now, how is it that they're allowed to eat at all? The Ran says that they are allowed to eat because they didn't have to become members in the first place. Tosa says they're allowed to eat even though they should have become members. Nonetheless, they're allowed to eat because it's chinuch. One last bit. What do we do with a kid who becomes an adult in between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni? That the 8% of kids in a given year who are going to become bar bat mitzvah in that month. So take a look at source number 12. The Rambam writes, Gershon is Gair b'Pesach Rishon l'Pesach Sheni. That's not relevant for us, but we'll read it anyway. If someone converts between the two, V'chein Katan Shehigdil Bein Shnei Pesachim, or a minor who became an adult in between Rishon and Sheni, Chayav Amasos Pesach Sheni. You have to do Pesach Sheni, because he missed Pesach Rishon. V'im Shachtu Olav B'Rishon Pater, but if they shechted for him for Pesach Rishon, he's exempt.
Also Katan.
Well, that's what we want to know. The Turei Evans is, what are you talking about? He wasn't eligible. He wasn't a bar minui. Said, you know, even Tosfos agrees he wasn't a bar minui, right? So why? How could he be exempted? You shechted from Pesach Rishon, very nice, but that didn't count. He wasn't an adult. So the Kesef Mishnah says,
unless you hold like the Mechilta.
That's what I'm wondering. You jumped the gun on me. The Kesef Mishnah offers an answer. Kesef Mishnah says, source 13, Umasha Kasev Ivshachtu Ala Barishon Pater. Ikala Medak, you could point out based on this, Atu Katan Bar Chayuvu Beturahu. Is a minor obligated or not? What does that mean? The Kasev Hari Kurkas, he quotes one of the Balayatosos, the Kevan de Rachmana Rabye Lekatan Sheishchatu Olav, that since the Torah included him for shechita, say you can shecht for him, umimananoso, and you can count him. Nifter hu bekach min hasheni, therefore he's excluded from Pesach Sheni with it. The Menachas Chinuch says, who are you kidding? He wasn't included. He's not a Bar Minoi. The Ran didn't think he was a Bar Minoi, and Tosfos didn't think he was a Bar Minoi. At best, it was Chinuch in Tosfos. So, you know, he says it's like the Turei Evan that talks about somebody who eats matzah when he's having a seizure. So we say he doesn't fulfill his obligation if it's just the seizure mechanically forcing him to swallow, whatever. That doesn't do it. Kafo shade. He's bound by a shade, whatever that means. He's potter. So the same thing is true here with the kid. Let me restate that more slowly. I'm rushing and that's bad. The Turei Evan talks about the person who is bound by a shade and he eats the carbon Pesach in that state, and says he doesn't fulfill his obligation there. Meaning, when he comes out of whatever state he was in, he has to eat matzah at that point. Okay, why? Because he was putter at the moment that he was in that state. So if you do it when you're putter, you don't fulfill your obligation. Well, the same thing should be true here. The same thing should be true for the kid. You ate Pesach Rishon when you were exempt. So how did you fulfill your obligation? So the Menachas Chinuch rejects the approach of the Kesef Mishnah and leaves it open-ended.
You could say a Lamdish Teres, that even though he's a transient potter, but Bechlal he would be Chayiv, whereas a cotton would
see,
be...
Or you could argue, that makes it worse. That makes it worse, right? The other one had a chiyuv and just lost it temporarily. The cotton doesn't have a chiyuv at all.
Right. That makes the question harder. Yeah.
Right. That makes the question harder. Unless you're going to take this mechilta and say that it's teaching us there is some kind of a chiyuv. I have to find somebody who says this on this mechilta, because I'm not comfortable saying this on my own. But it might solve our core problems in understanding, number one, how kids can eat from the Korban Pesach in the first place. In understanding why the Rambam says it's about B'nai Das, right, rather than saying it's about exemption from mitzvos, it would be convenient to be able to call the Mechilta on that, and to explain why it is that if you had a Pesach Rishon for this kid when he was 12, that'll exempt him from Pesach Sheni when he's Bar Mitzvah. I wanted to ask...